This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to the Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome to the Showrunner. As always, I'm your host, Jared Morris, one of the VPs of Rainmaker FM for Copyblogger Media, and I am joined, as always, by my friend Johnny Naster, the showrunner of Hack the Entrepreneur. And John, a couple weeks ago, we had an entertaining and exciting week in Denver, and you and I actually got to meet. And not only did we get to meet, but we actually had the great fortune and great pleasure to meet a number of people who are listeners to the Showrunner podcast and people who are inside of the Showrunner podcasting course when we organized a lunch on Friday at Authority Rainmaker and got everybody together, which for me was absolutely one of, if not the highlights of the entire conference.
Yeah, the Showrunner huddle.
Yeah.
I still have the artwork, the original artwork that was made for it. And we had two tables, I think, full. It was cool. That was definitely a highlight for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the original artwork, and then I had Micah do a second copy. So it's not the original. I'm not as cool as you, but I'm hoping to get that up somewhere in the background for when we do our hangouts, because it looked pretty cool. And, it's one of those great things. You have a podcast, and obviously podcasts are great at connection, but there's that next level of connection then when you get to actually meet people in person. And so it's just, there's nothing quite like taking an online relationship offline. So to anybody listening, when you do get a chance to meet people who listen to your show outside of the show in real life, do it, because it makes the experience so much more rich, I think. And so I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes here at the beginning of this episode, John, talking about maybe one or two takeaways that we each had from our tables. You know, at my table, I had got to talk with Dirk Beveridge, Sonia Thompson, Lisa and Rick Smith, and Zach Herbert. You know, all folks who have great ideas for shows and great plans, and they're really enthusiastic. And one of the big topics that we hit on was email, and we spent some time discussing email opt-ins and the importance of giving people a reason to sign up for your email list, making it special, right? Like, what is the incentive? And I don't want to go into this too much, because I think you and I are actually going to talk about this in much more depth on the next episode of the Showrunner. But it was great to just exchange some ideas, hear what people are thinking about doing for their email incentives and their email opt-ins. And I just want to highlight right here at the beginning the importance of thinking about email, thinking about building a list, giving your audience that chance to self-select themselves as more serious members of your audience from the beginning by starting out with email as just part of your overall plan right away.
Yeah. And I feel bad because you have everyone's names that was at your table, and I'm like notoriously terrible for names, and I apologize. But if I would have.
What he's saying is, I love you all more than John does.
Really? Wow. I'm terrible. I just learned your name, Jared.
So that's why you're calling me Jimmy all weekend. All right, I got it.
Oh, and I want to say, I like in your intro, I like how you said my friend Johnny Naster, because it's always been my co-host before. But now that we've met, now it's my friend.
Right.
I like that.
Exactly.
I noticed that just slight change. I liked it.
Yeah, good. I did that just for you.
But yeah, my table was really interesting, because we all went around and talked about just what we're up to and stuff. But then we really discussed format a lot. And everyone's seems like they're really trying to come up with that unique format that really sort of differentiates them in their marketplace, which I love, because it's not always about the better show or the better interview or the better artwork. It's really, you have to differentiate yourself in that marketplace. And so I love that I could just see the gears turning. People are just trying to find that slightly unique angle to hit the market and to really stand out. And I really, really liked that. And because I really wanted to hit that home, obviously, in the course. And so I'm glad that that did seem to catch. And then we seemed to talk about that for, it seemed like the shortest lunch, actually, that I had had in years. And I think we were there for an hour. But it was like, all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, it's time to go. And so we really got caught up in our conversations and we had a lot of laughs. It was fun.
I know. No, it went very fast. And hopefully that's something we can do in the future. And I will say real quick, I know Podcast Movement is coming up at the very end of July and August. You can get the details on it at podcastmovement.com. But I know there are already several people inside of the course who are going. And if any listeners go, we're going to try and do something, some kind of meetup to get together with everybody. And again, I can't recommend it enough. Every single time that I've gotten a chance to meet someone offline that I only have an online relationship with, it is always so rewarding. And when it comes to building a remarkable audience experience for somebody or for a group of people, which is what we're teaching and trying to demonstrate here on the Showrunner, well, there's no better way to take the next step than to actually get to know people and meet people. And you've got these real faces that you've met in real life that you're talking to while you're on the show. And so just a great experience. And John, I appreciate you mentioning the importance of differentiation, because that is actually going to be our topic today. So after a quick break, we don't do an ad here. I don't know.
Maybe we should.
Well, maybe we should. Okay. We'll do some kind of ad and then we'll come back. And we'll advertise something. And then we'll come back and talk about differentiation. So what should we advertise? Let's advertise Hack the Entrepreneur. Do you have a big episode coming out that you want to point people to?
Yeah, I did this interview yesterday. And so I'll release it at the time of this Showrunner episode. But his name is Carl Smith. He's from Florida, and I had actually never heard of him before, but he came up on my radar, and he owns a web design company, and he does a awesome podcast that I listened to last night called the Friendly Fire Podcast. But I actually said this at the end of the interview to him. I was like, Carl, I know that this is going to be a popular interview when I have laughed like 20 times just from my engagement within our conversation. We just went places that were really fun and we really, really kind of hit a chord together. So Carl Smith, Engine Works, that will be released on Hack the Entrepreneur now, and you should go listen to it.
Excellent. Thank you for that, John. And now let's talk about the main topic of this episode. And we're going to talk about the importance of differentiation and being unique. And I know that this is already a topic that we've covered in a previous episode of The Showrunner not too long ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, but it bears digging into again. And one of the reasons is that at Authority Rainmaker, it really was one of the themes that was woven throughout a number of the presentations. And so I think that's why we wanted to underscore it again here. Because as I was talking to people individually about their shows, it's one element that I think people continue to overlook. They have X idea for their show, but then when you ask them and dig deeper, okay, what makes it different? What makes it unique? Why is your show going to separate itself from the 10 other shows out there like it? People don't always have an answer for that. And I think it's very important to have that answer. And so as we went through the presentations at Authority Rainmaker, Sally Hogshead, for example, one of the keynote speakers, you know, had two memorable quotes, which were, different is better than better, and don't change who you are, become more of who you are. And that's her whole big idea is that what makes you different is also what makes you fascinating, right? And the same can be applied to your podcast. Joe Polizzi talked about content tilt, which basically is, what is your unique angle on your topic? What makes it different? Anne Hanley and Bernadette Jiwa both talked about creating better connection with your users through content that is unique and special. And some goofball in a vest talked about USP, unique selling propositions, right? Unique selling points as a piece that ties together the four essential elements of a remarkable show. So you can be authentic, you can be useful, you can be sustainable, you can be profitable. But to really take that next step to being remarkable, there's got to be something different, something unique. And so let me use that as a preface, John, and kick it over to you, because I know you have very, very strong ideas on this. And as you said, it's something that you were even talking about with some fellow Showrunner listeners.
So I'm trying to come up with USP, unique selling proposition, but could it be like unique show proposition or positioning?
Unique show positioning. There you go.
That's USP for podcasting or for show.
I love it. That's great.
I'm trying to come up with it as I'm talking, but
well, and I think that's good because I think sometimes people's eyes glaze over when they hear unique selling proposition only because it's so prevalent.
Yeah, we've heard it so many times.
Yeah, but I like this unique show positioning.
There we go. That's awesome.
That's good. And
okay, we're done. That's it.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Oh, but Sally Hogshead. So Sally Hogshead, different is better than better. That, to me, was worth the trip. That's amazing. Different mm-hmm. is better than better. That, like, sums up so much of what I've learned since starting Hack the Entrepreneur and having people resonate with what they say is my honesty and just being totally genuine. But I've just learn to just really be myself to the exponential sort of degree and push it. And I think people will probably realize this about me, as even my recommendations of shows to listen to, lots of them are usually pretty wacky and the person is just themselves so much. It's really just about, like, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like Jared. You don't have to be like anybody else but yourself. And don't just be a mediocre version of yourself. Really push every part of you so that it's amplified, because people resonate with that. They resonate with people who are just being human. And there's always that focus of being better and being the best. And it's like, no, you don't. Just different is better than better.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, and the irony is a lot of times we shave down our sharper edges to try and fit in, or we think that yeah. we should be trying to appeal to a more mass audience and that we need to become more generalized, but really that's just not really a recipe for success. Again, maybe in 2006 when podcasts were first starting, right? And there weren't that many options out there, you could be real general and try and appeal to everybody. That's not really going to work now. And you really are better off embracing your differences. And like she says, you know, don't change who you are, become more of who you are. So don't be afraid of those elements about you that make you different, or this different take that you have, or being afraid that you're going to be out there on an island a little bit. You want to be out there on a bit of an island so that people can come over and join you on the island, as opposed to getting lost on someone else's island. And so that, to me, again, there were so many lessons at the conference, as there always are, that were inspiring and empowering. That, to me, was one of the main ones. And again, I think it's something that we've hit on before, but it can't be stressed enough, especially for people who are developing shows, but even for people who have already launched and are already running shows, because it's not too late to pivot a little bit and differentiate yourself even more. And let's break down a little bit, John, some different ways that people can differentiate their shows, because I think sometimes, and I've learned this by talking to people, I think people have kind of a rigid idea for what differentiates your show. Maybe they think name and artwork, like that's pretty obvious, and having some wacky topic idea. But there's a lot of ways, some of them subtle, to differentiate your show. Do you want to cover a couple of those?
Yeah, format, I guess, is the really, really big one, right? Format, like when I've talked about sort of the Wild West of podcasting, to me, it's format. Format is very Wild West for the fact that you can do things now that haven't been done still in podcasting. When Startup came out last year, Startup's not a great name for a podcast. The artwork was kind of terrible. People will still talk about that, the little hand and a blue thing. But the format was everything people talked about, because it was this new, it was basically radio brought to like an on-demand sort of sense. Like it was so well produced and the format was so interesting. And I think that not that you have to go that far, because I didn't go that far with my show, but I really focused on getting a format that stood out, that caught people's attention, and that kind of made it different from other shows. And I'm sure my show format has been copied from things. It probably has, even inadvertently, and you should copy my show. If you like my format, you should don't try and reinvent the wheel with any of this stuff. Find something in a different market that works really well and adopt it to your marketplace. Like, let's just like, it's art. Art is built off of other people's art, typically. That's just how we do it. It's an evolution, typically, enough until there's like this revolution in the sort of art space. And that's what's happening in podcasting. These little revolutions happen when something like Startup comes out, that then this huge new group of shows come out and sound like it, which is cool as long as you differentiate still on top of what, say, Startup or what I've created or anybody. But you don't have to just sit there at your desk and bang your head against the wall and be like, I need something that has never been done before. It's like, it's not going to happen. Probably, like, at least in radio, like, listen to radio if you want to get ideas. Watch TV. Every bit of media you're consuming, think of some way you could bring that to your market in podcasting. And just like even one tiny little piece of a TV show or something that you find engaging, be like, how could I put that into a podcast or into my podcast? That to me is where this really happens. And that's the big, big one is format. And it's one that I focused on a lot with my show. And I think that that's my differentiation point.
Man, that's a great point, because I think a lot of people get paralyzed thinking they have to have that differentiation means something wholly unique, like it's brand new, and it doesn't. It can just be a new application of some idea over here that's never been done over here. And, you know, and so that's the thing, is to keep your eyes open for all of these different ways that you can differentiate, right? You can differentiate with style. I think we try and do that on The Showrunner, where we've evolved into a very conversational style, and also one where we kind of let people peek behind the hood. We show our mistakes. We show our work. You know, we want to give people a little peek behind the scenes to how all of this works. That's a differentiator. Schedule can be a differentiator. I mean, you are doing 3 shows a week, which differentiates you from a lot of shows in your topic market. Timing, which goes along with schedule, can be the same thing. The assembly call. It's a show that takes place immediately after games. So it's not like there's a set Monday, Friday schedule, but there's a timing that differentiates it. And your take, of course, can differentiate it. Maybe, you know, you have, think about whatever your take could be. Maybe you hate email marketing and you think email sucks. You're wrong. But maybe you start a podcast about
your
how...
Your opinion is wrong.
Right. It's wrong, but it's differentiated, right? Like, email marketing is dead. The new podcast. You know, I don't think you're going to build an audience of smart people, but that would at least differentiate you, right? And you'd find people who agree with you. So, and that's a horrible example, but I think you get you get the point. So, and this, you know, and another, I think, to kind of wrap this up, John, and think about any final thoughts you have before we wrap it up. But, you know, if you want to really, you know, if you want to get some ideas, if you're struggling with differentiation or uniqueness, talk about it with somebody. You know, I find that when you just talk about it and open it up, get people's thoughts on it, you know, does this seem like a new idea to them? What ideas do they have that can kind of help you? You know, you're over here and maybe you just need to tweak it 5 to 10%. To find that niche for yourself. So you're not just like anybody else. You don't have to be totally brand new and disorient potential audiences, but just enough of a uniqueness and a differentiation so people say, that's different. Let me give that a shot because this may be different over here. And then if the experience that you're giving people is remarkable, now you've got a chance at keeping them as a subscriber and as an audience member.
Or making them hate your show and you. Which is also, it sounds blunt and bold, but this is differentiation. It's when we try and just get people to like us. That's not what differentiation is. It's almost easier if you kind of switch your mindset to be like, I just want to repel the people that aren't going to be into me and into my show. Trust me, I get emails from people that like hate the style of my show, and I love it. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you don't like it because you are not my audience. Perfect. Great. You don't want to be so just in the middle that people can kind of like, well, I don't know if I like it or I don't. You want them to either love it or hate it. That's just what you want. And that's where your differentiation is. And I wanted to make that point because I think it's easier to repel people than it is to try and attract them. The ones who are left after you repel, those are the people that love you. Those are your fan base. And you can do that through so many ways, which is right, like scheduling, style, format, taker, timing, all those things can be done in that way. Some people hate 7-day-a-week podcasts. Perfect. If that's what you're choosing to do, which I strongly advise against it because it's a crazy amount of work, but maybe you want to, I need to bring that up. I see so many people trying to get in and they see these shows that are once a day podcasts and they think that that's their ticket, that if they just do this for 3 months or 6 months, that they're going to like have this super successful show. It's not true. There's more to it than just doing a whole ton of shows, and it's an insane amount of work. It really, really is. And that's not your ticket. You still have to be different. You still have to stand out. You still have to have the right format, and you still have to engage an audience. And although it helps sometimes in iTunes to have lots of episodes coming out, to go 7 days a week or 5 days a week and then to pull back in 3 months or 4 months for your audience, like, because you're just overwhelmed, it's something you really, really need to think about. I think it's easier to step up your schedule than it is to step back your schedule, because it already shows that you're kind of can't handle it. And it's not a golden ticket. Okay. A 5 day a week show or a 7 day a week show is not a golden ticket to riches in podcasting. It's just not. And it's an insane amount of work. I do 3 now with Showrunner, 4 shows a week, and it's an insane amount of work. It really is. It's just how it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, 3 shows is about the tipping point for sanity.
Oh, geez, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I mean, talking to Damien, right? Like, he does 4 shows, I think, or 5 shows a week, and it's a lot. It is. But I mean, he has this process where he does it. He's also only been it for a couple months now, so we'll see in 6 months. But it's a ton of content, a ton of work. And you don't want to be putting out mediocre stuff, so you have to go all in every single time. That's a lot. I'd rather have 1 awesome show or 3 awesome shows a week than 5 sort of mediocre, or 7 that kind of like one of them was amazing and then 6 are just you're exhausted and just going through the motions. So I wanted to bring that up.
Yes. Great point. All right. Let's get into our listener question next. Listener question for today, John. This comes to us from iTunes. And again, as we say, for anybody who leaves us a rating and review on iTunes and includes a question in there, we will always give those questions priority. And so this one comes from Terror.303, which is a frightening name. But the question is very nice. And this person asks, can you talk a little bit about how copyright restrictions work with music on podcasts? I've heard you can get away with using a song once if the clip is played under a certain length, like when you use the When I Dip, You Dip song. And it seems that there is some debate on this topic. And there is debate, and I don't believe that there is a hard and fast rule. There's something called fair use, which does allow you to kind of reproduce or use other people's work. If it's in a limited way, and there's certain restrictions, like you have to comment on it, that kind of thing. Now, I actually asked a lawyer before I put that episode out there, is it okay to use this song? And the response was, you're bordering on the line of fair use, but you'll probably be okay. And so I decided to use it simply because I knew that we would, you know, in the show notes, promote up, you know, the song, you know, who it's by, give all the proper credit. And obviously, it was, you know, we made mention of it in there. So that's why we used it. You wouldn't want to do something like that without permission for your bumper music, for example. And that's why going someplace where you can actually get the right license for the music is smart for anything that you're going to be doing on a recurring basis. Do you have any other insight to add to that, John? Because that was basically my thinking when we used that song.
Yeah, and that comes from a lawyer. And I'm Canadian, so this fair use thing is different, and so I can't really speak to it there. But with my show, with Hack the Entrepreneur, I literally found music that I wanted to use by a guy who makes it himself. And I found him on Facebook after, and I just messaged him. He responded back in like 2 minutes, and he was super excited to know. And he just asked if I would link to him somewhere on my website, which I have done. And yeah, he was just super happy. I don't even have anything in writing, and it just works out. It was exactly what I wanted for my show, and I had to cut it up myself and do like intro and then made an outro from it. But it's there, and I found him actually on freemusicarchive.org, I believe it is. Free Music Archive, just Google that. I think it's .org, though. And there's just a ton of music on there, and most of those songs then lead off to websites of bands, and those people are already giving it away for free. So probably if you reach out to them and ask them, and you might want to do a contract though with them just to show, or do an email, so at least it's proven that you've got approval, but I haven't done that. So I'm a terrible person to get opinions from on this sort of thing.
You do everything with handshakes, but that's,
I do.
That's
what I really
like
do.
About you, John.
Yeah. I really do. So it's always that's always my answer. Like, I trust the guy. If you trust him or her, then go for it.
Be human. Isn't that your most recent newsletter? Well, I guess
that
2 weeks ago's newsletter. Yeah, be human.
Yeah.
So again, thank you to Terror303 for your wonderful question. And again, if you want your question to get priority, leave it as a inside of a rating or review on iTunes, because we check those every week. But keep them coming. You can also tweet us at SureRunnerFM, and we will get the questions that way as well. So yeah, so why don't we do some podcast recommendations?
Sure, can I go first?
You absolutely can, John. You seem very eager.
I am eager. Sam Leslie is the host of this show, and Really Good Reads is the show. Really Good Reads is a cool format because he doesn't create the content. He literally goes out and finds blog posts, or in my case, it was my email newsletter that goes out, and something that resonates with him that he reads, he then gets permission from the author, and he just reads the article into his thing. So you subscribe to a show, and you just get this aggregated of amazing writing from around the web. And then you can decide if you're interested in that person that he just read their stuff, and you can go find out. And he's just some really interesting people. He's done a copy blogger one. I can't remember who wrote the one. It might've been Damien. I think it was Damien, and then mine, and a bunch of others. And I think he took a really unique way of content creation by just aggregating other people's and putting it into, he's really kind of a master of audio. So he did it in an amazing format, and that's my recommendation for the week.
Yep. Big fan of Sam's show. And that's a good idea also for a different type of episode. And we may do an entire episode of Showrunner on this, on creative episodes to do when you're feeling the dip or you don't have something in mind that week. Right. And I think it's like a form of content curation, right? Reading someone else's post, as long as, of course, you give proper attribution, all of that stuff. It's a great idea. And Brian Gardner did something similar. And I want to recommend one of his episodes from No Sidebar, which is one called Are Productivity Articles Making You Unproductive? And basically, he read an excerpt from it. So it's very similar to like using a block quote inside of a blog post to pull in work from somebody else and then give your ideas on it. So obviously, people who listen to No Sidebar, they are curious in what Brian Gardner has to say about certain things. And so he really liked this article. He gave, I think it was by Paul Jarvis. He gave the author credit, read a little piece of it, and then gave his ideas about it. And sometimes I think we overcomplicate how creative and new and fresh an episode needs to be, and we think it all has to be brand new content. Well, just like a good blog post can take an excerpt from someone else as kind of a springboard to a discussion, you can do the same thing in a podcast. And so I think we didn't plan this way, but obviously the theme of these two recommendations is very much that. And so use those as examples of different ideas for unique content that you can present to your audience, especially in those weeks when maybe you're feeling the dip, it's a little bit tougher, and you just aren't coming up with anything else. This is a great way to create really good content that isn't just mailing it in at all. I mean, these are, you know, really good episodes. They're different, and it's a different way to create podcast content. So thinking outside the box is good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So this brings us to the point in the show now, John, where we do call a call to action. And if you don't mind, I would like to get a little creative, do some different things with the call to action section for a couple reasons. Number one, I think a lot of times people tune out before the end of a show, especially if they know the call to action is always the same. And so I'd like to give people a little bit of a reward who listen all the way through. And second, I don't know how effective I think just requesting iTunes reviews at the end of a show are. Number one, because people stop listening. And number two, because most people, when they listen, aren't in a place to leave a review. I mean, it's a good reminder, but what do you think about the real quick before we get into the actual call to action, the whole request for review at the end of a show? Do you think it's necessary? Do you think it really works?
Yes and no. But I mostly try and one call to action at the end. You have to have it. I think it's essential. Whether people are listening or not, we can't choose that. So it's right. Make it different each time if you can. But I try and get people onto my email list. That's what I do in my call to action typically. Because from there, they'll build a relationship. And from that relationship, people I think have heard leave me a rating and review from every podcaster they listen to all the time, that people are almost figuring it out that when they like John Nassar now and they maybe are on my email list, get my newsletter, and then they end up on iTunes, they're like, I'm going to leave him a rating and review. Because every other podcaster is even, they know what people are, which is really cool. It's beneficial. But I'm finding in the last 6 months or so that it is getting easier to get people, or else people are just doing it and then emailing me like, I just left a review for you, which is really cool. So just do the one call to action is my one thing. But always have it, whether people are listening or not. Just have that call to action. It's your job as a showrunner.
Yeah, so do as we say, not as we do, because we're going to have like three calls to action here at the end, since we already kind of suggested that you leave us a rating or review. And, you know, if you do want to get on our email list, you can go to showrunner.fm, and the email list is right there, the little form where you can get on there. But here's what I wanted to do. This is the real call to action right here. So all the rest of that stuff, that wasn't real call to action. So this allows us to fit with your criteria of just doing one, John. but, you know, to try and do some different things and maybe some ways to get to know the audience better and even create a little bit more community. Which I think is the best part about the showrunner, both the podcast and the course, is this burgeoning community of showrunners that we have who are really committed to creating remarkable experiences for their audiences. So what I would like you to do, listener, for this episode, is share it with a friend. So someone who's currently developing or launching or running a podcast, or someone who wants to learn how to run a more remarkable show, share the showrunner with them. Maybe share your favorite episode, or just share, you know, the link showrunner.fm and tell them that this would be a great resource for them. And then let us know who you share it with. You can send us a tweet at showrunner.fm, or if you want to do it privately, send us an email, showrunner@rainmaker.fm. You know, because again, we don't really think of the showrunner as just a podcast or a course. It's really this growing community of people who see themselves in this role of responsibility for an audience experience. And so the more that we can share ideas and experiences and camaraderie and kind of lift each other up and motivate each other to be even better, the better everyone will be. And so that's what we're growing here with the Showrunner. And so we'd love to have you help us out with that by sharing this with a friend and then telling us about it. All right, everybody. Thank you. No, not everybody. We want to be taught. I'm having a hard time with that. Can I just be honest with you, John?
Yep.
The whole like talking directly to one person, I find myself slipping into everybody and more general like pronouns. I'm trying to work on that. You know, talking directly to one person, you, thank you, not everybody. I just thought I'd tell you that.
That's cool. I'm Pat Flynn says everybody at the beginning of his show. Pat Flynn's one of the most successful podcasters in the world. But the rest of us should say you.
You.
Because we're in one person's ears.
That's true. We are. We're in your ears. So thank you, dear listener, for listening. And we'll talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.